Good morning and welcome to Osega Community Church for this October the 3rd Sunday. My name is Carl Dulk and I'm filling in for Pastor John Hamilton, who is away. We welcome you again. The announcements for today: we want to remind everyone that we are opening the church for services next weekend. That's Thanksgiving weekend. The church will be open at 10:30. Protocols must be followed. Those protocols you will find on the very front door, so you can look at those. There will be only a number that's already been preset by the government to 35 people. So it's going to be, I guess, a first come, first served, and we'll go from there. So the service will be at 10:30 next week. Then a reminder that Samaritan's Purse, the shoeboxes for the children around the world. I have boxes here at the church right now. I will be getting all the other important, pertinent detail from Samaritan's Purse this week. It's arriving by UPS this week. So you can still pick up boxes to fill. Just don't have the girl or boy. You can make it out for a girl or a boy, but the actual form for saying it's a girl or a boy will be in later. So just mark on the box, girl or boy, and then I can give those to you when they come in. And now envisage. On Saturday, October the 17th, the Envisage Walkathon, which will be a 5K walk in support of Steps for Hope. You can be raising funds with family and friends in support of your walk and help Envisions to reach the goal of $30,000. You can register or donate at the www.envisagepregnancy.ca. And right now we have some pictures from Joyce Gold's birthday. And that was some beautiful pictures of Joyce's birthday. We're not going to tell you her age. Somebody did during the time, but we're not going to mention that today. Right? Isn't that right, Joyce? For sure. Okay, birthdays. The only birthday we have this week is Jim Wilms on the 6th. So happy birthday, Jim. No anniversaries this week to speak of, so we're going to go right from there into our praise and prayer. Dave Thornton has an abscess on his lung, and he's suffering from a bit of pneumonia, so you can be praying for him. Colin is suffering foot pain that is making it difficult for him to get around. Crystal's sister's eyes are better at times, but she's still having vision problems. We need to be praying about that. Monica, our senior citizen, is having very severe sciatic pain, and that is not helping her in her day-to-day life. Monica also has an appointment this next Thursday to see the dermatologist in Barrie regarding the carcinoma that's on her face. We also have, we've heard from Sue Page, Christine, her sister, is having her left kidney operated on Tuesday, and they're hoping they can do it with robotics rather than opening her up with a scalpel. Also, Sue's friend is having a sleep study for sleep apnea. I know all about those. I had two in the last two Sundays. So sleep apnea is something we get to our age and our weight, that's what happens to us. Sorry about that. Have we got them all? Yes. Okay, we celebrated Joyce's birthday. That was great. Let's go to prayer. Our loving and heavenly Father, You who we look to for all of our needs. Father, we commit to you these ones that we've raised up. We raised up Colin and Dave Thornton and Sue Page's sister and Sue Page's friend and Crystal's sister's eye problem and Monica and her sciatica. Father, these things are just there for Colin and the pain in his foot. That, Lord, you see all these things. You know all these things. And so are you, as the great physician, would you do the work that is necessary? Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your goodness. We praise you, Lord, that we are at a place now where we're going to reopen next week, and we're going to have people come in and sit in our church and hear the words and the music and sing. May you be glorified and blessed by all that's said and done. For this we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Monique is going to come and sing for us, accompanied by our dear Donna.
Forgiveness.
That was really great, Monique and Donna, playing and singing were excellent. We thank you very much. Before my message, I start my message, can we just pray over this? Father God, thank you for your word. And Father, I pray I have studied, I have tried to put those things in perspective so that people would know and that they would understand. And I pray as we open your word today, Father, that you would have your way in everyone's heart who is watching out there today, that you may be glorified in the midst of all of this, and we'll be sure to give you all the glory and honor in advance for all that you're going to do today. For this, we thank you now. Amen and amen. So family, last week we spent much of our time listening and hearing the word of God concerning Jesus declaring His great I Am passages, and there are seven of them, and I brought in an eighth one. It really wasn't an I Am statement that we say I am the bread of life like the first one we did last week, but it was the second, the eighth one, if you will, would have been that before Abraham was born, I am. But today I want to continue on our vein of the declarations of Christ to the crowds of his day, including the legalists of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And believe me when I say, the legalists are still around today. But God remains, I am who I am. So let's begin with John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 12, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What Jesus is saying that if you walk outside of him, you are walking in darkness. Outside of Christ, the world itself today, we might even say is ugly. And this ugliness is covering the planet. The entire planet and all of mankind is walking in this darkness. Christ, as the light of the world, shines the light on that blackness of the world and on the blackness of my soul and your soul. From Genesis to Revelation, the blackness of the world continues unabated. This darkness that I'm talking about and what Jesus mentioned in John 8:12, this darkness began in the garden when Adam fell from grace, and his sin has permeated every man, woman, and child since that time. And this darkness got so great that God regretted creating man. Genesis 6 and 6 says, The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth. Now, this is only the sixth chapter of Genesis, folks. And that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made man or made human beings on the earth. And his heart was deeply troubled. That deeply troubled there might say that God's heart was full of pain because man had become so wicked just since the time of Adam. God's heart was full of pain. Try and get your head around this, that God our Father made man, man sinned, and all of a sudden we have this darkness come over the entire world. And God regretted that he had made man on the earth. So what was God's solution for the wickedness which we find back in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5? The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Well, God's solution for that, because he regretted making man, that he said, I'm going to wipe mankind from the face of the earth. I'm going to cause a flood and cause everything on the planet to be destroyed. In Genesis 6, verse 17, we read the words, I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens and every creature that has breath of life in it, and everything on earth will perish. But there was one found, his name was Noah, that God made his new covenant with. Well, the flood came, the earth was cleansed, except for Noah and his family. So what happened next? Did man change now that he had this new covenant with Noah? Absolutely not. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10 says it best. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord. Whose heart is Jeremy talking about in Jeremiah 17, 9? Anyone in particular? All of us, folks. None of us are outside of that. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? But God says, I, the Lord, in Jeremiah 17, 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. God's reward and comes to mankind, believe me, through the light that he sent into the world. His name is Jesus. Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that is eternally, folks. The world is in darkness. And only the great I am can take away the darkness from you and from me. Please don't blame the darkness on God. Look within, look around, and see man's inhumanity to man. Since the time of Noah, man has gotten worse and worse. Only the one who said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, let there be light. Only he can make your darkness flee. For where there is light, the darkness must flee. So we find then in John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, and Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be. I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. for I will be what pleases him. Before Abraham was born, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. So now today, we're on the precipice of moving into the next I am. We have the light of the world. We have the bread of life. We have before Abraham was born, I am. Let's move now to the two more of the I ams, and I'm going to include them together because they really do fit together well. Of them, they are found in John chapter 10, verse 7, and John chapter 10, verse 11. Verse 7 says, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And in John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, I know that I can't do justice in the time allotted to these two I ams, the gate and the good shepherd. But let me say that in Jesus' time on earth, one of the great commodities on the earth at that time were sheep. Sheep were the commodity that could be traded all over the then known world. And sheep had great value. They were worth a lot at the time. So keeping the sheep safe was paramount in Jesus' day. Keeping the sheep safe was paramount in the day and in the culture of Christ. The shepherd would spare nothing, no, not even their own life. They would lay their own life down for the sheep. And at night, it was especially hard. Hard because, here's that word again, darkness comes. And darkness brings evil. So the sheep pens needed a gate or a door, if you will, to keep the predators out of the sheep pen. Now, when they were around the villages, they always had a sheep pen. And this sheep pen, they would open, and every shepherd around the area would allow their sheep to be driven into the pen, and then they would close the gate or the door in the night, and they would be safe. But what would happen is that the shepherd would take his sheep and go out onto the hills, far away from the sheep pen around the towns and villages. So he had to do something at night to keep the predators at bay, to keep the darkness away, if you will. And so what he would do is he would try and find a stream, a running stream, and he would try and build some whatever he could had around him to build up a little enclosure, and he would have an opening in that front of that enclosure so he could bring the sheep in, and if the water was running, the sheep would stay away from the water. And it's another thing that I have learned is that sheep don't like running water. They don't like it. So if the shepherd had the sheep out and he would make this pen, this makeshift pen, with only one way in, once they were all in this little pen that the shepherd had made, this makeshift pen, if you will, the shepherd would lay down where he had made the opening. So he became the gate or the door into the sheep pen. And his sheep would be fine through the night. And he would willingly, the shepherd, good shepherd, would willingly lay down his life for his sheep. If we read in Psalm 23, verse 2 tells us best. David sang this beautiful psalm, writing this beautiful psalm, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And I said earlier that something about sheep is they will not drink out of running water, a stream that's running, they will not. and they will not go into the water if it's running. So they would find, the shepherd would find a place where there's still waters, and they would try and build their makeshift pen where the sheep could go in, and they could have a drink beside the still waters and spend the night, and the shepherd would lie in that door opening. Jesus said in John 10 and 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." John 10 and 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. We must understand these words from Jesus. He said that I am the good shepherd, and I will lay down my life for my sheep only to raise it up again. That, friends, is the terrible death that Jesus suffered on the cross for his sheep. And who is his sheep? Who are his sheep? His sheep is the entire world. All who have died in time past. All those who will come in the future. And you and I today, we are the sheep. And he is the good shepherd. And he came and he laid his life down when they nailed him to that cross. He gave his life freely for his sheep. The nice thing about all of this is only then, John 10, 17 says, once I've laid my life down, only then I'm going to take it up again. I'm going to become alive again. And folks, we celebrate the Easter weekend just for that fact, that on Good Friday, Jesus Christ was crucified, and on Easter Sunday, he arose from the grave alive, defeating darkness, defeating death, defeating sin once for all. I am the good shepherd, and I am the gate or the door. There's only one way in, and there's only one good shepherd. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And he laid his life down freely. Freely. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life freely, only to take it back up again on the third day. Friends, it's an amazing account. It's an amazing account in the I Am's of him being the gate and him being the good shepherd. You know what? All of mankind on the planet, all of mankind can hear his voice and come. Only those are his sheep. Do you hear? Do you hear that? Do you hear that? That's the good shepherd. The good shepherd is calling his sheep. If you will enter into the gate, which he is, into the gate, you will be saved. You will be saved. Let's try and finish today's study with this I Am of Jesus. This is to me one of my favorite verses in the Word of God. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I am, Jesus said to her, Martha. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? The passage comes in the middle of one of the greatest tragedies of humankind, and that is the death of a loved one. As you know, the story in John Gospel here in chapter 11, just coming up to the death of Martha's brother Lazarus, he was told about his death, and he tarried there. He stayed there for another 2 days. And then he went to the grave site, and he said to his disciples, "Remove the stone." They said, "Oh, no, Lord, please don't. He's been there 4 days. It will be awful. The smell will be awful, Lord." He said, "Remove the stones." And then in a loud voice, he cried, "Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth." And out in the grave clothes walked Lazarus. I'm glad he just said Lazarus, because if he had said, "Come out of the grave," every grave around would have opened and those would have come out. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Jesus holds our lives in him. He knows each of us by name. As a matter of fact, one day when we all get to be with him, he is going to give us a new stone, a white stone. And if you turn it over, it's going to have your new name written on it. Now, did you know that death is not natural? Death is not natural. We were originally created for eternal life. We are originally created by God, and that, by the way, is Jesus. We are originally created for eternal life, to live forever with the triune God. Something happened to change all that. Again, we must look at Scripture to find the answer. It comes in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, you are free to eat of any tree in the garden.'" Put him there to work it, take care of it. "The one thing you cannot do," verse 16, please. Verse 16. I see 15, I don't see 16. Okay, so he says this to him: "But you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." So up until this point, the man was alive eternally with God. At that point in the garden, there was no death. The only way that man would know death is if he ate from the tree that God commanded him not to. Well, we all know that Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you know the rest of the story. He ate, and the blame game started. He ate, and the blame game started. When God came looking for him, he didn't want to show himself. They had already made fig leaves to cover themselves because they were naked. "What have you done? What have you done?" Here's the blame game starting way back in Genesis. "The woman that you gave me made me do it." And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." In verse 22, of Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord said, "The man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." He must not be allowed. You see, God's providential plan was already playing out on earth in the garden. He gave Adam choice. And unfortunately for us, Adam made a wrong choice. And death and darkness, because God cursed the ground that Adam was now going to be out in the world. Well, so friends, we hear right now from the lips of Christ himself, "I am the light of the world. I am the gate or the door. I am the good shepherd. And I am the resurrection and the life." What Jesus is truly saying here is this: apart from me, there is no resurrection. Apart from me, there is no life. He made these series claiming to be the very source of bread, the very source of light, the very source of a gate, the very source of being the good shepherd. All of these things, including the resurrection, all of these things point us to the fact that man needs a Savior. Man needs a Savior. Do you realize that apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no eternal life? Apart from the resurrection, the life, the death of Jesus Christ, there is no eternal life. Christ died once for all. Therefore, death, darkness, has no power over the one who belongs to Jesus. When you do the work that God requires of all of us, which was mentioned in last week's message, when you do the work that God requires of all of us, something nice or new or beautiful is going to happen. Here's the work that God requires: to believe in the one the Father has sent. To believe in the one the Father has sent. This is how death and darkness is defeated in us, by the person and work of Jesus Christ. His coming, his life, his laying down of his life as the Good Shepherd. All of these things point to him as the one and only "I am for all time." I am for all time. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. So here's what's going to happen. One day Christ is going to appear in the sky. It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. Like a blink, but only quicker than a blink. Here's what Paul says to us: "For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory." Death has been swallowed up in victory. Who is the victory? Is in Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Martha, "Do you believe this?" Corinthians says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory. He gives us victory. The battle has been won, friends. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The question I have is the same question that Jesus asked Martha. Martha, do you believe in the one that the Father has sent? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? If you say yes, my friend, then you belong in the sheep pen of Christ forever and ever. And God is good and accepts each one of us as His own. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. I thank You for each one who spent the time today to listen to what has been said. And I pray that each one would make an informed decision to do the work that God requires, to believe in the one that the Father has sent. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And so, Father, as we start a brand new week, I pray that Your victory will come to many through this message. And Father, I give You all the praise and all the glory for what You're doing and what You're going to continue to do in our church. For this we ask in the precious name of Jesus. And we all said, Amen.